O Lord, may the meditations in all of our hearts and the words from my lips be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. These were the words shouted by an ecstatic crowd upon meeting their king when he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. So much was the commotion over this Jesus of Nazareth that the Pharisees even say, "Look, the whole world has gone after him." And it certainly must have seemed that way as people praised their king with shouts of joy and palm branches in hand. Kings are supposed to be powerful. Kings have authority over their subjects. Kings rule their lands with definite boundaries. Kings determine what is the law of the land, and by only a word, a king can summon his army at a moment's notice. That's what we think about when we hear the word king. A powerful figure who only has to speak and his subjects leap into action. Nobody rules over the king, and certainly no one rules over God. But in today's gospel reading from John, we see our God and our king being put on trial by man. The very king, praised by his subjects when he enters Jerusalem, now stands before a Roman governor. The king is now questioned by a mere man, and he's not fighting back. What kind of king is this, you might ask? Here our Lord and our king stands before Pontius Pilate. He's on the verge of being sentenced to death, and he's being questioned about things that he doesn't have to give an answer to. God is accountable to no one, and yet here he is, standing before Pilate, giving answers to the governor. He doesn't summon legions of angels to sweep down from heaven and in an instant demolish the Roman Empire. He doesn't strike the people with blindness and walk out of Pilate's headquarters. "Enough of this. I'm out of here." No. Jesus is clear. His kingdom is not of this world. If it was, his servants would rise up and they would fight, and our Lord would not be in the position that he is in now. He would not be in the hands of men standing before an earthly ruler. The king is on trial. God is being put on trial. And this shouldn't surprise any of us, friends. In last week's gospel reading, maybe you recall, Jesus had warned us. Jesus warned us by saying, his followers, his people, will be bound and delivered before the kings and rulers of the world for his sake. To be a witness to the truth, Christians will be put on trial, and they may even lose their life. Friends, the world is hostile to the king, and the world is hostile to his people. We hear from our Lord's own lips as he is standing on trial before Pilate why he is doing as Jesus says, "For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth." Throughout Jesus' ministry, giving sight to the blind, raising the dead, casting out demons, demolishing every weak argument of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, Jesus bears witness to the truth. And now, even before Pilate, our Lord and our King bears witness to the truth. His kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is not like the earthly kingdoms of this world. God's kingdom is everlasting. It does not rise and fall with the tides. Where earthly kingdoms come and go, God's kingdom endures forever. The earth could melt, the heavens could fall. God's reign will never go away. And friends, his kingdom is a refuge. It is a sanctuary. His kingdom is a place of protection from evil, and not even the gates of hell will prevail against the kingdom of God. And when you are in God's kingdom, that means you are under the Almighty's watch. Where earthly rulers so often turn into godless tyrants, not your king. Your Lord and your king will forever remain a righteous king. And friends, his justice will go forth in his word. And he has declared it will be a light for his people. Hear from Isaiah, the Old Testament reading. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to my nation, for a law will go out for me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. These are the words of your king, who rules over his kingdom, not of this world. And furthermore, know this, God's kingdom was not established with gold and silver. God's kingdom was not established by earthly armies steamrolling one nation after another. God's kingdom was established by his very own blood. That is why Jesus is standing before Pilate, for the sake of his church, for the sake of his kingdom that he would go on to forever obtain by shedding his blood. God's kingdom is not of this world. It is something much, much greater. And our Lord is clear. Subjects in his kingdom listen to his voice. And what they do not do is put their king on trial. And that leads me to this. Just how well of a subject to your king are you? Huh? How obedient to your king are you? A litmus test could be this question. How well do you do at obeying the voice of your king? How well do you do at believing in and following the words of your God and acting according to that word? The world is like Pontius Pilate, questioning God at every turn, questioning his word, questioning what is and is not truth. Well, Jesus has spoken. His word is truth. But as sinners, on a daily basis, we cast that word aside. Now, there are blatant sins in society. The push for homosexuality has many in the church up in arms, and rightly so. It is a lifestyle that never has and is not approved by God. However, that should not be the only sin that concerns us. What about cohabitation? What about sexual immorality? What about adultery that Jesus says you can commit with your eyes? Just a glance and a thought in the heart, and you are guilty. What about murder that Jesus says we commit every time we hurl an angry insult at our fellow brother or sister in our heart? How good of a subject to your king are you? If you think the fourth commandment no longer applies to you because your parents are old or feeble, you are deceiving yourself. If you think greed is not that big of a deal, and maybe one of those sins that aren't as important or as big as others, do not be deceived, because God has said greed is a sin that is capable of keeping someone out of his kingdom. If you think the occasional dive into drunkenness is no big deal and that God simply smiles and winks whenever you pollute your sober mind with strong drink, do not deceive yourself, because God has warned us. Even drunkenness can keep somebody out of his kingdom. Or if you chuckle to yourself every time you see another Christian doing works of mercy and think, I'm Lutheran, I'm saved, I don't have to go through the trouble, piety is for the insecure, you're fooling yourself. God cannot be fooled. God cannot be deceived, friends. God cannot be mocked. What we do in the dark is seen in his glorious light. And make no mistake, God's kingdom does have boundaries. God's kingdom does have an edge to it. And Jesus, our Lord and our King, he is the one who determines who is in his kingdom and who is out of it. Do not be deceived, thinking that for a moment you can sneak into God's kingdom under your own terms. Do not think that you have the power to determine how one gets into the kingdom and how one gets out of it. Do not think. A life of unrepentant sin is something God is going to conveniently overlook. You cannot force your way into the kingdom of God. You cannot break down the door into the kingdom of God. Our Lord has spoken, and His word cannot be undone. And He says to us, everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. One cannot get into the kingdom of God unless, friends, unless they listen to His voice. His voice that not only determines for us those sins which keep us out of His kingdom, but His voice that determines for us how we are subjects in His kingdom. Living in the kingdom of God happens by listening, believing, and trusting in the voice of your Lord and your God, who says this to us in the book of Revelation. Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood and made us a kingdom, priest to His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The Almighty Alpha and Omega, He is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, who by His blood, friends, has made you a kingdom. By His blood, you are the kingdom of God. Sentenced to death by Pilate was exactly how Jesus Christ would make you into a kingdom. Thrust upon the cross for the entire world to see is how God has made you a kingdom. Blood draining from His veins as He prepared to give up His spirit is how God has made you a kingdom. And when you live in the kingdom of God by His grace through faith in His voice, friends, that means you are freed from sin, forgiven, and heir to an eternal life, yours on account of the kingdom obtained by the blood of our King, Jesus Christ. Our God will come again. And when He does, He will show Himself to be every bit the Almighty and Omega that He says He is. In the meantime, brothers and sisters baptized into Jesus Christ, when it seems as if the world is getting the upper hand, when it seems as if God's enemies are prevailing and that His church is going to fall into the hands of evil, God is clear. His kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is much greater than any earthly kingdom can compare to. No earthly kingdom can conquer the kingdom of God. His church is a kingdom that has no end. His church will endure forever, and it cannot be destroyed by the work of men. God's church, His kingdom, cannot be overcome, not even by the gates of hell, because it has been secured, bought, and paid for by the blood of the Alpha and the Omega, our Lord and our King, Jesus Christ. Rejoice. Give thanks. And as you go from here, continue, friends, to hear the voice of your Savior, who declares unto you by His grace, through faith you are forgiven. And by His grace, you possess in Christ right now life in His kingdom. In the name of Jesus, amen. And may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen.